You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Everybody, it is Thursday, September 28th, 2023, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. You're going to hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. Hello again, my friends. I am Mike Heck. Welcome back to the show. A lot going on in the news cycle. We've discussed a lot of it. On Tuesday's show, a ton of fights were made and announced by UFC President Dana White. We've had a lot of other things happen since we last spoke. Francis Ngannou had an open workout ahead of the Tyson Fury fight. We have Canelo versus Charlo coming up this weekend. We have ONE Championship coming up this weekend. UFC Vegas 79 and Bellator 299. Johnny Eblen retaining his middleweight title. A lot going on. This isn't going to be a free-for-all Friday type show, but there's really no, like, headline-y lead-in here, I guess. So I'm just going to turn it over to you guys, and we'll get after this thing as best as we can. So we will begin with Four Corner Sports. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mike. So I see that, UFC China looks like it's official, if I'm not mistaken, for December 9th. And there's rumors about Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong. If that's going to be the main event, do you feel like the UFC is dropping the ball once again when they have a layup with Zhang Weili? And if they can't make that fight, you think it's because of the fact that Zhang isn't ready? Or is it just because of the fact that... It could be, you know, another factor that's along with that. Yeah, because I saw there was a lot of rumblings about Song Yadong and Piotr Jan possibly being the main event for December 9th, but nothing is, you know, official, but I just hearing a lot of rumblings.
Thank you, sir. So, yeah, apparently December 9th is going to be in China. I saw the reports about Jan versus Song. Of course, when you see reports like that, you want to reach out and figure out if there's any legs to that. I will say this, after Tuesday's show, because I did get a few questions about it, I did reach out to somebody who would know the answer to this question, and I asked straight up, is this a thing? And I was told no. And then the report came out that got a lot of legs. And I asked again, has anything changed in the last 7 or 8 hours since I last bothered you? And the response I got was, no, it's not happening. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't come together, but from what I understand, it was discussed, it has been talked about, But as of Tuesday night, when that report came out, it wasn't happening. So I don't know if something will change. I don't know if like more money will be offered. I don't know if there'll be like, sort of a desperation to try to get this fight done. But as of Tuesday night, when I last spoke with somebody after the report came out, someone who would know this, I was told it's not happening. So again, don't know for sure. On the other side, why go to China if you're not going to do that fight? Like, why go all the way over there if you're not going to do it? Now, could they have paid the UFC to come? Could there be something to that? Could they pay them a bunch of money? Please do a card on this date. It's possible. But you would think that if you're going to go all the way over there, especially a week before your most loaded up pay-per-view on paper, that you will want to bring something really big there. And I'm not saying Petr Yan versus Song Yadong wouldn't be an important fight, but you have to feel it's kind of a letdown, right? Once Shanghai was – the rumblings were out there, you immediately assumed, all right, we're going to get this title fight, but maybe not. But we also have to understand that Zhang is not the most active fighter in the world. She doesn't fight like every 3 months, and she just fought. Like she literally just fought a month ago and went a full five rounds with a super tough, durable fighter. And she won in dominant fashion, but she did go 25 minutes. So maybe she's just not ready, but I kind of feel like, why are we going there if we're not going to do that fight? Unless they just feel like it's just bigger business to do it on pay-per-view. I don't know, but yeah, it's a weird one. As of now, Yan Song, there's nothing to that. I'm not saying there's nothing to it because there have been conversations, but to say that fight is done or targeted or in the works at this time, not accurate from all sides, I will say. So who knows? Maybe something will change this week. Maybe we'll get a Dana White screaming announcement of some sort saying that it's happening. And look, has Dana gone on one of those screaming sessions and announced fights that aren't done? Yes, he has. So, and do we know why he does that? I think we know why. When fights are maybe just short of the red zone before being official, you make the announcement, kind of put the pressure on, and you're just like, oh, I guess it's out there now. So, but yeah, that's the latest on that from what I was told on Tuesday. Man of my word, I said I would ask, and that's the response. And then when the report came out, I asked again, and that's the response I got. Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, heck of a morning. Just want to keep it quick. I mean, no UFC fights, obviously, to talk about for Saturday, but just wanted to highlight that Contender Series card. I mean, what a freaking couple of fights there that we had. And then obviously just the ending that we had too. I mean, the start also, I mean, geez, besides one fight, I mean, this has to probably be the best Contender Series episode I've ever seen. So just your thoughts on the episode, if you think any of those people are going to be any standout fighters too. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, it was, they've been cooking with gas lately. Last week wasn't great. 2 weeks ago was really good. This one was ridiculous. I think you have to look at a guy like Vinicius Oliveira and be like, Jesus Christ, this guy could do some damage at 135. I mean, 135 is such a crazy division. That knockout was nasty. That was a nasty, nasty knockout. The Cara Kate, Judy's fight was ridiculous. The Silva-Pacheco fight was ridiculous. Danny Barlow looked really good in his fight. I mean, it was a really good episode. We had two big finishes and two incredible fights. And then we had a heavyweight fight that ended via disqualification that wasn't the greatest fight of all time. So pretty good show. Pretty good show. And this is what you could expect from the Contender Series for the most part. My issues with the Contender Series is not the quality of fights, because you almost can't fight the way you typically fight on that show. You have to kind of fight outside of your abilities, because it's not just about winning. It's about impressing Dana. And if you catch him on a bad night, if you don't have an exciting win, you're not getting a contract. But if you catch him on a night where things are going well business-wise, or they have big things happening and Dana won a lot of money at the casino or something, and he starts giving contracts to fighters. Look, Dana gave out a contract this year to a fighter who won, in his opinion, the worst fight in the history of the Contender Series. That's a good night. And then there are certain nights, Josephine Knudsen, for example, was one of the more well-rounded fighters that competed on the Contender Series this season and did not get a contract. So, I mean, she eventually got signed anyways, but I don't know. It's just a weird show, but man, these last two of the last three episodes have been really, really good. But yeah, I think Vinicius Oliveira is a friggin' problem, man. That guy's real good. Let's go to Eric. What's up, Eric? What's up, man?
A fight this weekend, but the Contender Series episode was sick. All the fights were nasty. Yeah, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Wait, what was this?
The Contender Series on Tuesday.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, really good episode. Really good episode. That's what that show can produce. Dylan, go ahead.
I just had a quick question, like when it came to like contract negotiations and stuff, I guess, if you knew the answer. When people say that they're like for Michael Chandler, for instance, like he's waiting on the big money fight, or like, is it guaranteed that if you fight Connor that you're going to get your contract negotiated? Because like they have deals already. So it's like, I guess that's it. Is it just a guarantee that if you're going to fight Connor, you're going to make more money? Like, I don't know. That's it. Thanks.
Yeah, because if you're going to fight Connor, you're getting a pay-per-view main event. And if you get a pay-per-view main event, then you get pay-per-view points. And Connor fighting anybody does a million. So, yeah, you're getting – I don't know, like, the exact numbers. Like, I don't know, like, how it all works out, but – you'd have, like, even if you got like a dollar off of a pay-per-view buy, and I don't think it's that. I think it's probably way more than that in the end. But if you got a dollar for every pay-per-view that's sold, and that's like not much considering it's $79.99 plus taxes for the pay-per-view. But if a fighter each got a dollar for every pay-per-view sold and they sold $1.5 million, then you're getting $1.5 million on top of what you're getting anyway. So yeah, I think main event fights on pay-per-views, you just get a little, you get a little bit more money. It's like just fighting for the belts. You get a little bit more money. Fighting in a main event, you just get more money, whether it's fight night or a pay-per-view. And then with the pay-per-view, you get the points on top of it. So yeah, you fight Connor on in a pay-per-view main event, you're making much more money, because Connor, whether you love him or hate him, the dude sells a mill. He's Mr. Money Man. He's part of the third biggest fight in the history of combat pay-per-view, the fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov. So Connor holds two of the top three pay-per-views, the Floyd fight and the Khabib fight. So yeah, you fight Connor, you make a shitload more money because people are willing to drop $80 on it and you're going to get a piece of that pie. So yeah, Chandler's making like millions of dollars if he fights Conor McGregor. For sure. Viking, hello, my friend. How are you? Viking, are you there? You're muted. There we go.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm not good. I just want to ask you about the UFC 294. Who is the biggest draw for the UFC 294? Hamzat Islam or Charles? Thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good day.
Who's the biggest draw? Depends on how you look at it. If we're talking about selling tickets and put butts in the seats, for this card in Abu Dhabi, it's Islam, for sure. If you're comparing it just with those two guys. If we're talking like all out, which fighter of those two is going to generate more pay-per-view buys, it's probably Charles Oliveira. I mean, did you see the reaction he got in freaking Canada? I mean, that guy, he was the main event. Like, I know Amanda Nunes, Rini Aldana was
on paper, the main event, it was a title fight, but everybody bought that card to see Charles. People bought tickets to see Charles. Charles was a star. I don't think Charles is like a tier one star, but Charles is a star. He's a star. People want to see what this guy's going to do. However, I think the biggest draw on this whole card is Khamzat Chimaev. I think everybody is interested to see what he's going to do. And I think by the time we get to October 21st, yes, people are going to be talking about the main event, but everybody's going to be talking about Khamzat Chimaev versus Paulo Costa. Like, that is the fight that is going to steal the headlines. It's what Paddy Pimblett, Jared Gordon was for UFC 282, even though that card just took a million hits, this fight's going to steal the show. It's going to steal all the headlines. It's what everyone's going to be looking forward to. It's what everyone's going to be talking about. We just got this main event a year ago in the same building, and we saw what happened. Now, could Charles do something different? Sure. But I think most people feel like we're just going to get the same fight again. Maybe Charles is a little bit better, learned some lessons, but this is the Khamzat Chimaev show by the time we get to October 21st, in my opinion. So looking forward to it. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Pretty simple question here. Out of the last three pay-per-views of the year, how are you ranking those? Just overall card. And then the main events. I feel like MSG is great, but it's getting a little carried. Top-heavy. Just wanted to get your opinions on the last three, because I feel like these are like the final three big pay-per-views of the year, and they're all usually pretty massive. So just want to get your opinion. Thanks, Mike.
I think it's pretty easy. I don't know. Like, in terms of, like, which card I'm lining up to watch, it's backwards to forwards. It's 296, 295, 294. But which card do I think will be the biggest of the three? The biggest one? 295 is going to be the biggest one. I mean, it's not even going to be close. As good as 296 is on paper as an entire card, 295 is just going to do bonkers. It's going to do bonkers. All the content for 295 is going to do better than anything else we do. The watch party numbers will do better for 295 than anything else we do. But 296 is the better card. It's just that main card alone is insane. And 295 is good, and 294 is pretty good. 294 is pretty good. But if you compare 294 to, like, past Abu Dhabi cards, it's not as good. It's still good, but it's not the same. It's like it's missing a second title fight. I mean, let me just pull up last year's real quick. UFC 280. We had Makhachev Oliveira. We had Sterling Dillashaw. We had Sean O'Malley, Piotr Jan. We had Benil Dariush, Matush Gamrot. We had Manon Fiorot, Caitlin Chookagian, and then the featured prelim was Bilal Muhammad versus Sean Brady. That's pretty damn good. 294, we have Makhachev Oliveira 2, Costa Chimaev, Tim Elliott, Muhammad Mahayev, Nasruddin Imavov, Ikram Alaskarov, Magomed Ankalaev, Johnny Walker. Like, good, solid. I would assume that's what the main card is going to be. That's a pretty solid main card. Outside of the top two fights, not a ton of star power. Mahayev could be a star down the road, but he's not yet. I mean, they're all good. They're all good in their own ways. But to me, if it's like, Mike, you can only watch two of these, it's 296 and 295. But 294 is going to be real good too, so... But what I like about 294, and it gets extra points, is that it's early day MMA, and you got to love that. 2 p.m. Eastern main card. I already booked my flight for the watch party. I'm very excited about that. Leave at 6 a.m., land, get ready, check into the hotel, take a shower, head on over to the studio, and right into fights. It's a beautiful thing. Absolutely beautiful. But I think we're going to be a little bit spoiled for sure for the rest of the era as far as pay-per-views go.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
VB MMA, go ahead.
Hi, man. I want to ask you about like 295 and co-main event. You know, that's my favorite fight of the year, Pereira and Deary. Do you think that winner of that fight probably fights Adesanya next year, or do you think Adesanya fights Strickland in a rematch, or what do you see happening with Adesanya? Because I think Pereira, you know, trilogy would be pretty fun if he moved up, you know. And also, he's been at 205 before. Didn't go his way, but maybe if Pereira wins the belt, he could go up again, and it's a huge fight, you know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, unless, like, Pereira just gets over so big and he's like, I'm not fighting anybody else. But you have to think Jamal Hill is going to get the first crack, and he should. 100%. So, and honestly, I want to see that fight. I want to see Jamal Hill against either of those two guys, because it's more on the Jamal side. I need to know if he's just a really good fighter, or if he's a great fighter. And I feel like he might be great, but I just don't know. And I think we'll get answers if he fights Pereira or Jiří next, whoever wins that fight. As far as Izzy goes, Izzy's obviously dealing with a lot of stuff right now. We saw the reports, and it's basically all been confirmed at this point. His team's already responded about it. Izzy with the drunk driving charge, and not here to shit on him or anything like that. But obviously, he was dealing with all of that heading into this fight. I'm not saying it's the reason Sean Strickland won, because I think Sean wins that fight anyways. That Sean Strickland on that night beats Israel Adesanya on that night, whether those charges were hanging over his head or not. But makes you somewhat view things a tiny bit different. I think for him, he just needs to just chill out a little bit. Just chill out. Take a break and, you know, let this middleweight division play out. See what happens with Sean. Is he going to fight DDP? Is he going to fight the Chimaev Costa winner? I think we have to let Sean fight somebody else first. And I think Izzy, when he comes back, will fight for the middleweight title against whoever the champion is by the time he's ready to come back. But now if Izzy comes back and wins the belt, Pereira beats Prochazka, Pereira beats Jamal Hill. If it's Pereira's choice, is like, do you want to fight Magomed Ankalaev or Johnny Walker, or do you want to go fight Israel Adesanya in a champion versus champion fight? I think he'll lean towards Israel Adesanya every single time. So that fight could happen, but I think it's to say if Pereira wins, he's just going to fight Izzy. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. It's kind of a hard, like, I understand there's a history there. But if Izzy's like, I'm going to take a year off and go up to 205 and just bulk up, that's a different story. But doesn't seem like he's going to do that. So my guess is he fights for the middleweight title in his next fight, but I don't think they do the rematch with Strickland right away, if that makes sense. Abzuali,
yeah,
go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Yeah, so
good, man.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask two things. One, the fight with Imawov and Imran. I just want to discuss a little bit about that. How do you – that's a very interesting matchup. How do you see that fight playing out? And based off the skills and strengths and weakness of both fighters, who's – upside do you reckon will flourish and flesh out better during that fight? And I would say regarding particularly Imawov, like if he were to lose, let's say if he loses to Ikram, does that kind of kill any momentum of the fact that his hype as a top tier fighter in the middleweight division diminishes based on the fact that, you know, this he's kind of had a streak of if he fights the last few three fights, and based on the fact, like, you know, losing to someone like Ikram, yes, he's a good fighter. I'm not saying that Imov isn't a good fighter, but if you're losing to fighters like that, would you reckon that it just shows that he might be at best like a Marvin Vettori type of fighter down the line who will win a lot of fights, but he might also lose some important fights to maybe really good fighters, kind of, you know, same way Vettori has done. And the other thing I want to discuss is the Pantoja and Brandon fight. I'm also really interested in how that fight's playing. I wanted to get your thoughts on how do you see that fight playing, basically, and what are some of the key parts of that fight that you're looking forward to with that? That's all I have. Have a great day, man.
So, I mean, flyweight title fight rules. The first fight was really good. Pantoja got it done. I probably lean Pantoja again, but I have questions because I think it's hard to explain Brandon Royval because the dude is an absolute nut when that cage door locks. And I know from conversations I've had with him, he's trying to control that in some way. Like, he's told me stories about how Mark Montoya makes him just walk a circle around the gym like a bunch of times, and as he gets towards the end of the walk, Brandon was telling me that Mark would see him try to like get there quicker, and Mark's like, what are you doing? Why are you speeding up? I said the same pace the entire time. So he's working mentally on trying to slow that down a little bit. But you still need sort of that chaotic Brandon Royval factor. But we saw the full-on chaotic Royval in that first fight, and Pantoja caught him and beat him. And that fight taught Brandon Royval a lot. It definitely taught him a lot. So the fight's going to be incredible. I do lead in Pantoja. I think he's just kind of on one right now. But would it shock me if Brandon Royval won the title? No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. That's going to be one of the best fights left on the calendar. I have a feeling that when we put out fight of the year contenders, at worst, that is going to be an honorable mention. But I get a feeling that one's going to end up in the top five somewhere. I really do. And if that's the case, we got Pantoja going to be on that list twice, which is friggin' insane. The Askarov-Imavov fight. I mean, I'm picking Askarov to win that fight. Pretty confidently, too. And it's no disrespect to Nasruddin Imavov. This is everything to do with how good Ikram Askarov is. I mean, they were going to feed him Paulo Costa. Remember that? That fight was supposed to happen at UFC 291, and I came on the show and I was like, there's no way Paulo Costa's going to fight this guy. There's just no friggin' way he's going to fight this guy. Because what's the point? It's pretty obvious to the non-casual eye what they were trying to do here. Paulo's being a pain in the ass with the contract negotiations, so we're going to feed him to this dude that nobody really knows that's probably just going to truck him all over that cage. At least that's how the UFC viewed it. Ikram Askarov being on the Contender Series is just one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen, because that dude was ready for the UFC like 4 years before that, and they still made him fight on the Contender Series, and he killed a poor dude. So, yeah, I don't think there's any shame losing to Ikram Aliskarov. This guy is going to probably fight for the middleweight title in the next 2 to 3 years because he's just so talented. He's so good. And I think it's going to be a really bad night for Nasruddin. And there's nothing wrong with being – he's going to be a perennial top 10, top 15 guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But middleweight today compared to what it was like when the pandemic started, it's a whole different division now with all of these guys. There's so many contenders. There's so many up-and-comers. So many guys to get excited about. Aliskarov is one of them. I mean, Sean Strickland is the friggin' champion of the world. It's just a totally different division now. But, man, Ikram's a problem. The dude is a problem. And I think he's gonna have a breakout performance at UFC 294 against a pretty damn good fighter, and Nasruddin Imavov. And being a top 10, 15 fighter in any division, he could still say, hey, look, I'm like the 14th best middleweight in the world. It's a pretty damn good thing to be able to say to people. He's just probably not going to win the title. Cole, go ahead.
Morning, Mike. After listening to Logan Paul yesterday on the MMA Hour talking seriously about how he would be so down, or like actually down to fight Mike Perry if like the whole thing doesn't work out, like I was laughing out loud hearing that. Like that would be seriously the most brave thing that a Paul brother has done if he got in there with Mike Perry. Like I'd have a lot of respect for him. Another thing I just thought of was a couple weeks ago on one of your shows when you guys were talking about the best player coach in MMA right now, someone said like, oh, if only there was a show where you could draft the best player coaches. And I was like you guys were kind of hinting at kind of making a show about that. And I was thinking that would be just so genius, having like a draft kind of show, MMA related. Like drafts are really popular right now amongst different kind of like sports podcasts, and I think that shit would be awesome with MMA. But yeah, what's the progress on that? That's all I got. Have a hell of a day, man.
Yes. Yeah, the Logan Paul thing was a good interview. I think he would fight Mike Perry. I think why not? He'd make a good bag of money. Mike Perry is a guy who's really changed the way people view him over the last few years. It's pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild. And he's gotten himself over in a big way. And, you know, he's done some things that he regrets and done some things that some people can't forgive him for, and that's totally fine. But I think we're seeing a softer side of Mike Perry, a more, I don't know, likable side of him, I guess. And I think Mike's a pretty big star right now. Like, I think he's a pretty big star. And I think people would be like fascinated by that fight. I'd be fascinated if Jake Paul fought him. Like, that'd be a fascinating fight. So I think he would do it. I think at this point with the build and having Logan on the card and everything he's done, like if he doesn't fight Dylan Danis, and he can fight Mike Perry, he's still going to make a whole bunch of money. And if he loses, who gives a shit? Like, it's Logan's not like Jake. Like, Logan just does this from time to time. He even said it himself. Like, it's more for, like, for the businesses. It's more for Prime and all of that. Dude is making bank in WWE and doing all this stuff. Like, he's fine. If he loses to Mike Perry, who cares? If he loses to Dylan Danis, it's pretty bad. If he loses to Mike Perry, people should be like, damn, he went in there and like went hammer and tongs with Mike Perry. That's pretty brave. So, yeah, that'd be pretty interesting. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with this fight. No clue. But I know Mike is getting ready, and he's preparing himself just in case he gets the hot tag and they call him in. But I kind of feel like Dylan's going to fight. But now that they're kind of dangling this possible Mike Perry fight in there, I kind of hope Dylan doesn't fight, because I'd rather see Mike Perry versus Logan Paul, for being honest. As far as the other thing, if only there was a show, stay tuned. Stay tuned. I can't really reveal much, but there's going to be a lot of new things coming. There's going to be some new stuff coming. And I am very excited. Very excited. There's one thing in particular that I've been pushing for a while. Been pushing probably since I got to MMA fighting, if we're being honest. But if we have gotten the green light to go ahead and do it, it is going to be an undertaking, to say the least. But I don't know if I've ever been more excited about a project in my life. So stay tuned for that. We have a lot of cool things coming. There's going to be some cool stuff coming next year, too, that I'm really excited about. But, yeah, get ready for some new. And I think not that anything's, like, really going away. It's just going to be some different stuff. Some very different stuff. And I cannot be more excited about it. Dre knows MMA. Go ahead. Dre. Just got to unmute. Dre knows MMA. Once, twice.
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, shit! Come back in, Dre. It's like right when the thumb was going down. It was right when the thumb was going down. I'm like, no!
And considering, you know, Sugar Sean's now, I was already going to my question before. So Sugar Sean's a champ now. We all know he lost to Cheeto, even though he's admitted it. I personally think, and I'm a biased, I'm of Ecuadorian descent. You know, I think he's been given a raw deal a little bit because, you know, at first he was fed to the wolves back in the day and he beats these guys, these, you know, former champs. He not only beats them, he beats them in devastating fashion. Anybody else would have gone through that tear, he would have got a title shot even back then. Then he even beat Song. I think that was a controversial one. So, you know, he was a great, you know, fight against Jose, which wasn't like the worst loss. So, you know, and he showed, and he's always been there when they ask him, you know, in most cases, historically, Dana's, you know, given those guys a title shot. But it feels like, you know, here, just because he's not the most exciting guy or because he's from a small market, we're not giving him the love that he deserves. You know, he beat this guy fair and square. The guy in the cage, he broke his leg and, you know, or whatever. And I want to see him fight again. I think he deserves it. I think it should be in Ecuador in Quito at 10,000 feet. See where Sugar's cardio's at, because we know Cheeto's cardio. And let's do it. What do you think?
So I don't think they'll do it in Ecuador. It would be cool. But I don't think they're going to do it in Ecuador. But, dude, I mean, look, I've been saying this since the Sterling fight was announced. And remember, Cheeto was supposed to fight Henry Cejudo on this card. And then Cejudo got injured. And they put in Page. We were like, oh, what's Cheeto going to do? And I'm like, and I said the whole time, like, he has to fight on this card. He has to fight somebody, anybody. I don't care who it is. He needs to fight on this card. Because if for some reason Sean O'Malley wins the title and Cheeto Vera on that same card gets a win in any way, he's going to get the title shot. This is – I don't know if – like I don't know if I agree with you in the sense of, well, Cheeto's not getting enough like love and respect here. I don't think that's true at all. I think most people are like, give this dude the shot. Like, and I feel like this is the fight we're going to get. It's the biggest fight you can make in this division right now. Cheeto is a very popular fighter. He's not a star like Sean O'Malley is, but he's very, very popular. He's got a very large fan base. That fight is going to do bonkers. It's going to do really good numbers, even as its own freestanding main event. That's a main event. That is not a co-main event. That is a main event fight. And it's going to be huge when it happens. Sean O'Malley kind of like teased some people saying December. Cheeto don't give two shits. He'll fight tomorrow if you ask him to. But Cheeto's been on a really good run, man. Got the O'Malley win. He lost to Jose Aldo, clear cut. Then he got a nice win over Davy Grant. He knocked out Frankie Edgar. Beat the hell out of Rob Font. Not a lot of people could say that. Knocks out Dominic Cruz. He got kind of trucked by Corey Sandhagen, if we're being honest. I mean, the fact that I still have to read that as a split decision is just ridiculous to me. But then he came back with a good performance against Pedro. Look, there is no meritocracy anymore. Okay, this is the UFC. This is a business. This is about the biggest fights at the right time. And this is the biggest fight at the right time. It sucks for Aljamain Sterling. It sucks for Merab Dvalishvili. But that's it, man. Like, this is the fight. If Aljamain Sterling had beat Sean O'Malley, we're not having this conversation right now. We're not talking about Chito Vera fighting Aljo for the belt. I don't even think we're talking about Chito fighting for the vacant title at this point. But the stars aligned here, and I think if they make that fight, I think a lot of people are going to pick Chito to win that fight. So, yeah, it's just a matter of when. Maybe February, maybe March we get it. But, man, I think a lot of people are looking for that fight, and a lot of people are saying Chito should just get it. Meritocracy be damned. That's what I've been saying. Just do this fight. Now's the time. You've been waiting for the perfect time to run this back. Now you have it. You have to do it. You got to do it now. You can't be like, well, it'll be a bigger fight if Chito wins another one or Sean defends against Merab. Like, why would you do that? Do it now. Just do it now. CV, go ahead.
Yo, Mike, heck of a morning. No really big headlines to discuss because I know we talked about it on Tuesday, but I want to talk about the best division, lightweight. Obviously, we got the big main event for Abu Dhabi title fight, and we got Grant Dawson and Bobby Green next Saturday. And I know you're higher on Arman Sirikin, but I just want to discuss, like, who do you think, do you have any prospects you're interested in for lightweight, maybe in the top 15, top 20, top 25, like, you know, who could eventually emerge for next year? And also, I want to know your thoughts about Dana, like, expanding the rankings to, like, top 20, top 25 now. What do you think about that? Isn't that a bit convoluted? I don't know. Maybe, like, my prediction for that is I think we're going to get more Apex-y main events now. Since, like, if you have, like, 20 beside your name, you're technically ranked. But, yeah, what do you think about that? Thanks.
I could not dislike anything any more than that. There's no need. There's no need to expand it, especially in the UFC, because we all know that these rankings don't mean anything. And I just talked about it with Marlon Vera. Like, in a just world, in a Bellator MMA world, Chito Vera is not fighting for the belt in his next fight. But in the UFC world, he is fighting for the belt in his next fight. The rankings don't mean anything. You don't even need them. It's just a shiny thing to put against somebody's name. Oh, and you're probably right. That's probably the reason why, is so they could be like, we could justify some of these just horrendous Apex main events that we're getting. Just justifying them in a different way. But yeah, I hate it. I hate it. I think the UFC rankings, and I think most people would agree, they're kind of trash anyways. But don't worry. Just follow along with the MMA Fighting Global rankings, the only rankings that matter. We top 15 there. The only ones there, top 20 are the pound-for-pound ones. Don't you worry about it. 55. God, there's so many. I think Benoit Saint-Denis is going to be a guy that I think a lot of people are going to have their eye on heading into 2024. Big fight with Matt Frivola coming up at MSG. Perfect matchmaking. This is exactly the fight that needed to be made. So very excited there. I know Renato Moicano is not a prospect, but I am curious to see what he's going to do next. Because it's been a hot minute since he's fought, since the Brad Riddell fight. He was supposed to fight Arman Sarukian. Elvis Brenner is a guy that I like a lot. That fight with Gurab Kutatuladze was so good. So good. And doesn't get mentioned enough. So he's a guy I really like. I mean, the bomb themes are good. Well, Ishmael, I know he lost to BSD, but I mean, who doesn't really lose to BSD right now? Nazim Sadikov's fun. I mean, there's a lot, man. Nurul Aliyev is good. I wonder where the hell Mike Davis is. That's a question that I continuously have. Daniel Zellhuber is a guy I just am super high on. He might be the guy I'm looking forward to watching the most progress. Bahamondes is good. Manuel Torres is fun. I mean, dude, there's so many of them. There's so many freaking 55ers, man. Natan Levy, I feel like, is coming into his own, but just keeps getting injured. I don't know. There's so many. It's the best division in the sport. It's the best division in the sport. Miss me with the bantamweight stuff. Like, bantamweight is great. And even, like, Anshul Jubilee is fighting at 294. That's, like, he's good too. There's just a lot, man. There's a lot. But Zellhuber is probably at the top of the list for me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
JD, hello. JD.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, man. I'm doing pretty well. First I'll mention, yeah, I think Benoit Saint-Denis is – I favor him against Matt Frivola. I think, you know, Frivola is wonderful, but BSD has just been looking like a friggin' freight train lately. But the question that I had for you, good buddy, is do you have any initial thoughts on Rob Font versus Figgy Smalls? I think I saw that was confirmed by MMA Fighting. I'm not sure. If it wasn't, just forget the question. But otherwise, man, you have a great day.
JD, not only was it confirmed by MMA Fighting, it was first reported by MMA Fighting on Friday. I love that fight. Font's been wanting that fight for a hot minute. Ever since there were talks about Figgy going to 135, he just continued to kind of call Figgy's name. I know there were rumblings and there were smoke to these rumblings that the initial plan for Figgy at 135 was going to be Dominic Cruz. There were discussions on that. There were talks about possibly doing it in November. I don't know what happened to them. When I confirmed the Font Figgy news, I was like, huh, this is damn good. Wasn't what I was expecting because I had heard so many rumblings about maybe getting the Cruz fight together, but this is a damn good fight. I'm looking forward to it. It's three rounds. I don't know, man. Like, it's going to be tough to call. I wonder if there's even, like, betting lines on that one yet. Let me look that up. See if we get any Font Figgy betting lines just yet. Because, let's see. Rob Font minus 142. The comeback on Figgy Smalls plus 120. It's probably lines perfectly. Yeah, I love the fight, man. I really do. It's a good test for Figgy. It's a good first fight. Font looked real good against Adrian Yanez. He had a tough night against Corey Sandhagen. The wrestling was just a lot. And the thing I think I'd probably lean Font here. The big thing that I think helps Font in this fight in particular is, and Figgy's not going to be like a terribly small bantamweight. He was a fucking huge flyweight. So bantamweight's probably like a really good spot for him. I do think Font, all in all, is going to be the bigger fighter. Not by a ton, but I do think he's going to be bigger. I think Font's durability is going to be the biggest factor in this fight. Like, I think Figgy's going to be able to land some shots. I think Font's going to be able to have a lot of success on the feet as well. He's going to be able to mix things up really well. And Figgy's power that translated so well at 125, I don't think it's going to translate as well at 135, especially with the guy like Rob Font. I mean, Rob Font got hit as hard as you possibly can get hit by Jose Aldo and Marlon Vera, and they couldn't get him out of there. I just don't know if Figgy can. And I think Figgy's best chance to win this fight is to knock Rob Font out, and I don't know if he can. I don't know if he could do it. Now, could he be slick on the ground and maybe submit Rob Font? Possibly, but Rob's sneaky good on the ground too. Like, he's pretty well-rounded. Obviously, Corey took advantage of some discrepancies with Rob being on his back and being, you know, in a defensive grappling position. But Rob's, again, very tough to get out of there. So I think his best chance to win is just to kind of do what Sanhagen did and just take him down a bunch and just kind of lay on him or knock Rob out. And I just think Font's going to be a little too much, but can't wait for that fight, man. I'm curious where it's going to happen. Curious what the main event is going to be. It's funny enough, we were talking on Tuesday about on to the next one, which I've been saying, like, Bilal Muhammad should just go fight Kamaru Usman. Maybe you do it a main event on this card. Dana White saying, Bilal's got a fight booked. And then Wonder Boy was on the MMA hour yesterday, and he said, yeah, I wanted Usman, but apparently Usman's got a fight booked. Now, I don't know if that's the fight, but it would make a lot of sense to me, right? If Bilal's going to fight anybody, Usman's the guy. Like, that's the dude. There's nobody else that makes sense for Bilal to fight right now. So, we'll see. VBMMA wants some more. All right. We'll take this, and then I got to get out of here. Go ahead, VBMMA.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. You know, we mentioned, like, Easy probably is going to sit out, you know, next couple of months. And Sean likes to be active, you know. So if a few weeks Chimaev beats Costa in probably, you know, impressive fashion, let's say he's -400 to do so, and he's you know, big star and everything, I don't think, you know, Sean is gonna wait for Dricus or anybody. You know, I think he actually gonna fight Chimaev. What you think of that fight in future, Chimaev versus Sean? Because Sean, I think, is gonna be active. You know, I don't think the guy likes to wait. So what you think? If Chimaev wins?
Oh, shit, sorry. Yeah, dude, Sean Strickland will fight Hamzat Chimaev in a heartbeat. That dude ain't going to back down from anything. He's not going to be – this is not going to be the era of, well, I'm just going to wait for the big money fight, and no, I want to fight this, and no, I want to do that. No. And this I know for a fact. Sean is not going to back away from Hamzat Chimaev. He is not going to be like, nah, I'd rather fight Dricus. No. If they offer him Chimaev, he's going to be like, all right, when? We'll do it in the parking lot. Fine with me. That's just how Sean is going to be. I'm not worried about Sean in this hypothetical fight. I'm worried about Hamzat in this hypothetical fight. Because Hamzat hasn't fought in 13 months. The guy is not active. He fought twice last year, but it's been over a year again since we've seen him. So the worry is not on the Strickland side, because if the UFC said, hey, Sean, fight Hamzat Chimaev tomorrow, defend the title against him, Sean would be like, okay, I'm in. But can we get Hamzat, if he beats Costa, to turn around in 3 to 4 months and fight Sean in Vegas or wherever? That's my concern. That's my concern. If I'm Dricus, DDP, oh man, DDP just might be screwed in this whole situation. But because even if Costa wins, like, Sean wants that fight, and that's gonna be a big one. So yeah, we'll see. Hamzat's activity is going to be the biggest piece of this puzzle here, because the UFC is not going to wait a year for Sean Strickland to defend the title. So hopefully Hamzat makes it to October 21st and Paul makes it October 21st and they get in there and they have a fight, and then he could turn around and he could be like the active fighter again. Obviously, he's not going to fight like he did when he first got to the UFC, but at least 2 to 3 times a year consistently. I think that's what people want to see. And if that can happen, big things could happen for Hamzat Chimaev. Panda, go ahead.
My man, Mike, thank you for giving me this shot. How are you?
Good.
I will be quick. I will be short. And I actually want to hop on to what we were just talking about. Yeah, Hamzat Chimaev fought twice last year. What was it? Maybe three or four times the first year. I want to say three the first year he came in. I just feel like if Khamzat does want to become, I don't want to say a title contender because he probably already is, but one of these guys who do attract pay-per-view points, I got to assume he's going to have to fight more. And I think it has a lot to do with not only the weight, but his health. Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't he have a health scare that almost took him out for, I don't know if it was forever, but it was definitely for a while. And yeah, so my question to you is, what does happen if Khamzat is a one fight a year guy with the belt? Does that scare 180? Is the prospects at 180, you know, they're probably shaking in their boots, I'd assume. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's hard to say because we know how the UFC views Chimaev. We saw how they viewed him even after his debut, and he was like, I'll fight next week. And then he fought 10 days later and did the damn thing there as well, and then knocked out Jerome Mearshard a couple months later. So Khamzat, he's been the biggest mystery in MMA for the last 3 years since he came in. No one really knows who he is. And, you know, right when he has momentum, he misses weight by 7.5 pounds against Nate Diaz and then ends up fighting Kevin Holland. And Nate Diaz, much to the chagrin of the UFC, gets to fight Tony Ferguson and leaves the company with a win to go fight Jake Paul. Like, that was the UFC's, like, worst nightmare. That was their worst nightmare. And now it's been 13 months. Yeah, he did have a health scare. He talked about it before about he had a really bad case of COVID, like real, real bad. And yeah, I think just people want to see what they want to see what his ceiling is. Like, I think everyone imagines Khamzat and predicted he'll be a champion. I remember when he first came in after the Mearshard knockout, people were saying, Jen Meshew was on BTL saying, like, this guy will be a 3-division champion. He'll win the welterweight title, win the middleweight title, and then go up to 205, win the light heavyweight title. I don't think he'll win the welterweight title because I just don't think physically he can make 170 anymore. I'm stunned he made it ever. I've told the story a million times. I've stood next to the man. He is a fucking mountain of a human being. I don't know how he made 170 ever. 185 is perfect for him. He's still going to have to cut a bunch of weight to get to 185. I could see a world where Khamzat could fight at 205. So I think multi-division champion is still in play for him. But again, it's all about the activity. Can he win October 21st and then fight again within the next 6 months? If he can, he's getting a fucking title shot immediately. He's going to get the next shot at Sean Strickland. They will push Sean back in order for him to fight Khamzat Chimaev. But it is risky booking him right now. The UFC has... They want to book him, but they have trepidation too. And it's totally understandable. Will he make it to the fight? Will he make weight? All of this stuff. When he does all of that and he's a part of a card, he's the talk of it. He's the talk of it. So maybe 2024 is the year that Khamzat finally gets to fight for the belt, and we'll see if he can get there. I want to see it. There's nothing I want to see more than Khamzat Chimaev fight for a title. I'm so curious by it. I want to see what he can do. I want to see if he's one of the all-time greats. That's what I want to see. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, from what I heard, and I know someone who trains at All-Stars in Sweden, so Khamzat traveled to New York, I believe, in November last year, and then after that, his visa just got completely revoked, so he could not travel to the USA. They tried to book him to have a fight in March in London card, but that didn't go through as well. Oh no, not July, June in Canada, but he couldn't travel to Canada. But what he's done now is he has got citizenship in the UAE, and the UAE is like one of the top 10 passports in the world. So there should be no more problems with visa issues. So in July, he actually managed to travel to London for the first time. If you saw one of his vlogs, that was his first time in London. So I believe he has now a UAE passport. So there shouldn't be any more visa issues going forward. So hopefully he can, yeah, turn around pretty quickly. But from what I heard, the only places he could fight was Sweden, Dubai, Russia, or Brazil. Brazil, actually, he could have got a visa for Brazil, but everywhere else it was literally rejected, rejected, rejected. So, yeah, just thought I'd add that one.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I honestly, I mean, a lot of us figured there were travel issues to some respect. And I know when he was on the MMA Hour, Ariel basically flat out asked him, like, are you able to travel anywhere? And he said, yeah. But no one really knows. But hopefully that's the case, man. Like I said, like, it's not just about like Khamzat and the theatrics. It's, is this guy one of the greatest of all time? Because you feel like he can be. You feel like he's got the skills. He's got the attitude. He's got everything to it. And I there's always a quote with that I go back to. It always pops into my head when it comes to situations like this, like from A Bronx Tale. The most disappointing thing is wasted talent. And Khamzat certainly hasn't wasted it, but untapped potential is just a shame. And the fact that I just want to see if he is one of the best ever, because he could be. We don't get that feeling about a lot of fighters that come through. We just like, oh, this guy's a fighter, and like, he's really good. Maybe he's a top 10 guy. Maybe he could fight for the belt someday. Maybe he could win the belt someday. And we have these conversations, but how many times do we go through and we see a guy like 5-6 fights into his UFC career, and we say to ourselves, this guy might be the best to ever do it? Like, that, it's a unicorn, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. We've seen guys get hyped up, but I can't remember another fight, maybe Connor at a time, but I don't think anyone really like believed that he could be one of the best ever in the history of the sport. But I think with Chimaev, if you have like that conversation is there, like, could he be? Could he be that guy? And the fact that we have to wait 13 months for him, it just stinks as a fan. But again, hopefully the visa issues are worked out. Hopefully he can travel and fight anywhere. Hopefully he can turn around after this Costa fight if he wins and fight Strickland for the belt, like, quickly thereafter. It's going to be a big next year for Khamzat Chimaev. It's going to be a massive year for him. Who knows? Maybe next time he fights in Abu Dhabi, he's the middleweight champion of the world. Maybe he's main eventing Abu Dhabi next year. Only time will tell, my friends. All right, we are done. We will have a BTL 12:30 Eastern time. And the man who is on the call, my best friend, Alexander K. Lee, will be joining the panel. Him and Jed Meshew battling it out. We'll recap UFC Vegas 79. We'll talk about the big fight announcements. We'll talk about Johnny Eblen's big win. We'll talk about Francis Ngannou's open workout. We'll talk about Izzy. We'll talk about it all. So we'll see you at 12:30 Eastern on the YouTube channel. We'll be back here tomorrow at 10. We will have a show tomorrow. I think we're going to go a little bit later, though. I think we're going to start a little later because, and normally I don't do this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Put that good juju out into the universe. I am scheduled to speak with one half of the main event for UFC 295, the former heavyweight champion of the world, Stipe Miocic, tomorrow morning, right around when we would normally start this program. So when we wrap that interview up, we'll jump on.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.